Log Talk Radio.
You know we're talking about the power!
Future Focus. I am your host, the Mastermind, Bob Rogers. With me is a couple of my cohorts, of course, in Indianapolis, Indiana, by way of Chicago, Illinois. He is the president and founder of the NWG Motown Wrestling Group on Facebook. Avid pro wrestling fan, he is Tony Motown Allen. What's up, man?
What's going on, Bobby? How you feeling today?
I am chilling. It's been a very interesting New Year's and Christmas, I can tell you that. Oh, man. But with no further ado, we also have our other host. This man has been on IWTV. He's an announcer. He calls it like he sees it. He's also a partial historian. This man has more knowledge about wrestling than most people can breathe. This guy, he is one of the minds of wrestling that has not been discovered, but will be discovered soon. And I'm glad to have him here as not only a buddy, but part of the FTW Wrestling Future Focus cast. He is Robert Black. Robert, what's going on?
Hey, it's all right, Bobby. My New Year's and Christmas have not been interesting, but kind of slow, which is probably a good thing. So,
yes, we don't need no crazy stuff kicking off. I'm telling you
okay,
right now.
No, we've had enough of that over the last couple of years. We don't need anything. Relaxing is good.
Yes, relaxing is definitely good. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to be speaking about a couple of different subjects. First off, we're going to be talking about the pay-per-view last night. I don't even know if you call it a pay-per-view. I don't even know what you call these things anymore. But it's WWE Day One. Yeah.
I would call it a desperate attempt to put a house show on television. It's a desperate attempt to have people pay for a house show on New Year's Day. That's basically what it was.
Good point. In addition, not only will we be doing that, we're going to something special. Future Title of Wrestlers has always been about the wrestlers nationally and independently. So, what we're doing is we're kicking off the 2021 year-end Future Focus Awards. Now, how that's going to work is there'll be a national category, and then also there will be an Midwest independent category as well. So, the nationals, of course, fit TNA, Impact. I meant to say Impact. I didn't mean to say TNA. Sorry. Impact, Ring of Honor, if they were still around, GCW, I would consider them more in the major. Of course, AEW, WWE, stuff like that. The independents here in Indianapolis are, you know, the smaller federations that have the talent coming up, and we're not going to consider our be concentrated on the actual federations in this one. We're going to be talking about the individual independent wrestlers. The nominees we'll be announcing tonight, and you will have a week to go ahead and go onto the page, to the R.A. Rogers page, and vote to who you think is top dog. It will only be categorized to these independent wrestlers that we know. We haven't been all over, especially with COVID and things of that nature. He's busy with his work schedule. I'm busy with mine. But there will be an announcement later on about something that I'm wanting to do. And I've talked to Rob. I talked to you a little bit about it. I talked to Tony about it. And I think we might go in this direction. So right now, let's start off with day one, get WWE out the way, and then we'll get into that stuff because for some reason I like pain first, and then we go to the pleasure part. So I don't
I'll keep
know.
You away
it's
from
just,
Vegas.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And even if I was in Vegas, I wouldn't have bet on the show. I wouldn't have
okay,
been
okay, now
all.
That will be my last un-PG comment today. since we're getting day one out of the way first, I'll get any innuendos out of the way before we begin. So that'll be my last one.
I mean, do you think we could really get away from them talking about this show?
I'll try.
I don't think there's that much because I'm not holding back. I'm not going to do it. So.
Well, see, the thing is, if I don't hold back, then we'll be hearing Carlin's 7 the whole show through. I don't think you want that.
Okay, good point. All right.
Yeah.
So WWE Day 1,
mm-hmm.
Interesting event. What is, and I'm just going to go over the overall. Well, let's go through the matches first.
Mm-hmm.
The first match
in the pre-show card, Cesaro, Ricochet taking on Ridge Holland and Sheamus. I do remember this match.
I remember it, too.
And it was because of one person. Go ahead.
So I just remember the tag team match turned into a singles match for the most part with Ricochet kind of messing up that one move.
Well, yeah, but this is the thing. You know Ricochet does a lot of flips, and that's the dangerous thing. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he comes with the territory, but people got to protect themselves a little bit. That's all I'm going to say is, It's a hazardous sport. We'll just put it that way. I'm just gonna not say any secrets there. So this matchup, since it did turn out the way it did, what did you guys think of it? Rob, go ahead and go first.
Well, I think that the here's the thing with WWE overall, they have a lot of people that can put on great matches, but it always ends up the booking always seems to get in the way. Now, the thing with Ricochet is since this was the pre-show, I think that he was trying to do what an opening match is supposed to do and make sure that it drew people in, and that might be why he made the mistake that he made. It's just a question of the guy was trying to do his job, and the reason that it kind of went off the rails was because he was trying to give it that extra boost, I think, is what the problem was there. Overall, they could be doing more with a Sheamus-Cesaro feud, and, you know, even though I'm not feeling it, I like both guys. It's just, overall with not only this match, but with this show, the action is solid. The match itself is good, but the booking gets in the way every time. Yeah, I'm here.
Did we lose Bobby? I mean, I agree with you on that. I mean, my thing is, I had low expectation for this match, and then partially because of what you said, booking. We know how
Cesaro could go in the ring. Cesaro's phenomenal talent. Ricochet is a phenomenal talent. But the WWE doesn't realize that for some reason. So it's like going into this match, I mean, I just knew that, like, okay, no matter how the match goes, they won't take the L because it's just like the WWE just, like, don't like booking them to win.
Well, see, I think they realize how talented Cesaro and Ricochet are. They're not blind. It's just that what they do best doesn't fit the cookie-cutter mold of what they're trying to accomplish. And that can drive you nuts.
It definitely can, yeah. Drives me nuts.
Mm.
But overall, though, definitely a decent show, though. I mean, definitely a decent match. I'm kind of like you in the same way. I do like Cesaro. I do like Sheamus, both of those guys. I mean, with them being in the feud, you know, it can definitely be interesting. It's just, it could be a lot better if booking don't get in the way. And did we lose Bobby?
We might have.
Okay, well, hopefully you can call it back in.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll continue on then.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, we can hear
you.
Can you hear
me now? Okay.
Yes.
I don't know what the heck happened. All right, but check this out. I'm going to give you my take on this match.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, I love you to death, but I disagree with you. I think
okay.
WWE is Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles' love child. They are blinder than a bat. And it might be a little Helen Keller mixed in there, too, because this right here, this match right here, in no way, shape, or form should Sheamus team have won without cheating. No way in God's green earth. This new dude, whoever this goofy, I don't know who he is, it's like an NXT. These are the people in NXT that I say, no, should never have came up. I don't like this guy. I never have liked this guy. But you have the nerve to talk about Keith Lee. You know? I mean, this dude is like, as soon as I see his face, I just don't want to watch it. Just like, this guy's terrible. And Sheamus, don't get me wrong, he's a cool dude and he can do whatever and whatever, but I'm tired of seeing Sheamus going against Cesaro. It's been played already. It's been done already. You like the guy that glows in the dark. We understand that. You're going to put him over every single time. We're going to understand that. Why do we get this shoved down our throat every single time and say, like it? You're supposed to like it. It's the most popular thing to like it. You must be a nerd because you don't like it. Well, I'm a nerd. I'm Steve Urkel. I can't stand it. You know, this match, honestly, there's no excuse that it didn't go to Ricochet and Cesaro. It should have went there automatically. But I don't know what they're thinking. I don't even think they're thinking. I think Nick Khan got his claws in there some kind of way. I said, well, we have to appeal to the masses and look at Sheamus' history. So anybody with Sheamus, we're going to blah, blah, blah. Not understanding.
In all honesty, I'm not even going to put that on Khan. And here's the reason. The booking with Ricochet and Cesaro has been like that even before he was in the picture. And same thing with Sheamus, though. So it's like, this was going on before Khan even got there.
No, I agree. Well, my thing is, if you got a guy coming in the door that is supposed to strain things up to make your company look profitable, these are things you're going to point out. Look, McMahon, look, Vince, you want me to help you make more money. Let me show you this with the talent that you have of how you're missing out on more money. You're not putting this person in the limelight. You're not putting this person in the limelight. You're not going to this demographic. You're not going that. No, Nick Khan is not doing that. He's just like, okay, well, they've been popular before, so we'll just go ahead and push them. This is the blindest thing I've seen since somebody spit venom in somebody's eyes and they tried to walk off to get help. It's insulting to me. It is actually insulting.
Well,
anybody else?
I don't.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I agree to a certain extent. I mean, I don't think that it's specifically Sheamus that they're trying to push. I think it's the there's the size factor, which that doesn't really qualify for Cesaro as much as it does for Ricochet, but there's also there's a certain kind of dynamic that WWE wants to fit, and for some reason they can't break out of that mindset. And the booking follows that on top of whatever else, and the match quality can show through to a certain extent, but and you're right, that match should have went to Ricochet and Cesaro with maybe some heat from the heels afterward to if they want to keep the feud up. But you're right, we have seen Sheamus and Cesaro before, and it's been played out. They've been partners, they've been enemies, and they do need to kind of move both of them on. It's all of the people in this match could give high quality inside the ring. It's just the stuff that's draining in on top of it is the problem.
Okay. I can see what you're saying in that sense, but I don't know. I just think that they could do a lot better than they're not.
Of course.
I think it's just lazy because we got millions and millions of dollars we're making. Why do we, I think it's kind of cheating the wrestling public from seeing different things. And being able to entertain.
The masses knowing that, I mean, it's like the way they book them. It was like I knew the Cesaro and Ricochet had no shot of coming out of that match with a win.
Yeah, and that's the point, because that type of mystery is what would intrigue all of us, to watch that certain match or that pay-per-view, because we didn't know who was going to win, I mean, perfect example. I mean, how can I say this? I mean, like Flair and Steamboat, you didn't know who was going to win that match. You know Ric Flair was going to actually lose that belt, or if Steamboat was going to win it, or if Steamboat was going to win. You know what was going to happen. I mean, Hulk Hogan now we know the backstage politics or whatever, but before all this stuff came out, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man. Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, which kind of flipped us because they did let Ultimate Warrior win,
Hogan and Andre, where there was no way in hell that anyone was going to. If Andre did not want to lose that match, he wasn't going to lose that match. But he knew that if he did shoot on, Hogan, that he would have destroyed the fan base. So he did what he had to do.
Yeah. I mean,
you're right. In the sports entertainment world, we have become more critics than fans. We're critiquing matches because we pretty much know that what should happen, and when it doesn't, it looks bad.
And I have a problem with that word, that phrase.
I mean, it only exists in one place.
I mean, everywhere else is professional wrestling, but professional wrestling is like the F-bomb for Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Bobby.
He needs to get over his F-bomb.
No, he really
I mean,
does.
Seriously.
I mean, the fact that man looks at sports entertainment and not wrestling is the reason why some of his most talented wrestlers are in AEW.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I just took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, I made an analogy about this a few years back. Bobby, you probably remember it. Sports entertainment is to professional wrestling as Miracle Whip is to mayonnaise.
Think about it.
It's packaged the same. It's marketed the same. You use it on the same kind of things, and the same people consume it. But Miracle Whip, according to the USDA, is missing certain ingredients that would make it mayonnaise legally. And the same is true of sports entertainment and pro wrestling. Sports entertainment is what happens when you take professional wrestling and you yank out all of the spontaneousness and all the grit. You need spontaneity and grit to make professional wrestling what it is, and when you take those things out of it and sanitize it and rehearse it too much, it's sports entertainment. And that's Vince McMahon wants a well-rehearsed, well-scrubbed product, and when his audience looks at him and asks for mayonnaise, he looks at them like they have lobsters coming out of their ears.
As much money as he has, he probably does see lobsters. But, you know, I mean, it's just the fact of it's just, to me, it's insulting to all the guys that paved the way, I mean, from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s until now. You know, you wouldn't have a future or you wouldn't have a present if it wasn't for the past. You know, and I think a lot of times in this industry, a lot of people have been looked at, used up, to moved on. And I think that's insulting. It's very insulting to that talent.
I mean, from the moment that he bought the company from his father, though. I mean, like, he has went against tradition from day one.
Yeah. And I don't say you don't go against tradition, but you don't disrespect tradition,
but,
and that's what Vince McMahon has done, is disrespected tradition.
But he's been disrespectful from day one, though. Like, he's shitted on it from, like, the beginning. I mean, not saying that he hasn't done any good, because he has done a lot of good in his prime when he was a lot more coherent than he is now, but he has shitted on professional wrestling from the beginning.
Let's be fair. There are some people that think Miracle Whip is delicious.
Wait. And this comes to a discussion that I had with somebody on Facebook today. But let me get one thing in right quick. We do have another guest, another host. She's coming in. She's from around the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
She loves
Jericho. She's down south.
Oh, she's south?
She's out of North Carolina,
okay.
I believe.
Oh, no wonder she liked the heart. Okay.
I wish she was in Chicago.
Right. But she's from the south. She loves the Hardy. She loves Chris Jericho. Their number one biggest fan is here. We have the lovely Ty on the phone. Ty, what's going on?
Hi, everyone. First, before y'all get back in the conversation, I did want to say I apologize for being late. I was at the store. I was eating. And as a Southern lady, I didn't want to be disrespectful and talk with my mouth full, because I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all mamas and daddies, talk y'all, don't eat with your mouth open, with your mouth full.
No. My dad just said chew it and let them suffer.
Yeah. But you guys see my point. But
I'm
y'all,
in a bow tie.
But y'all see my point.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I do want to make another analogy with the whole Miracle Whip bit. If WWE is like Miracle Whip, would that mean AEW is kind of like Duke's Mayonnaise? Which do they prefer better when it comes to watching wrestling? Duke's Mayonnaise or AEW or Miracle Whip, a.k.a. WWE?
It was really a general kind of description, but I kind of look, if you would want to, like, call AEW that brand of mayonnaise, then that would be just fine, because I've had Dukes and Hellman's.
Well, the reason why I added that to the analogy is because, you know, me being from the growing up in the South, Duke's mayonnaise is like a huge staple in the South.
Mm-hmm.
I never had Duke's mayonnaise. I'm getting jealous.
Well, Duke's mayonnaise is delicious. Duke's is delicious.
I love it.
It sounds like it. Yeah, well, see, I've had both, and the thing is, I grew up with Hellman's because Hellman's but I've had Duke's before, and it is delicious stuff. So that fits the analogy perfectly because Duke's is a proper brand of mayonnaise, whereas Miracle Whip is not mayonnaise at all, according to the USDA.
I don't even know what Miracle Whip is at this point. If it's not mayonnaise, what the hell is it?
Technically, it's salad dressing. Not to get too deep into it, but Miracle Whip was invented during the Great Depression in order for people who couldn't afford mayonnaise. It was that's why it's missing essential ingredients. It was cheaper to make, and that's why it became popular.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and that's sort of the same thing that the WWF did when it started doing sports entertainment in the 80s. It was a lighter version of what the NWA and AWA were doing. It was more kid-oriented. It was more family-friendly, and that's why they drew the audiences they did. Yeah, sure.
Why in the hell are we even saying that they're Miracle Whip? Because Miracle Whip at least tastes halfway decent.
It depends on what you're making the Miracle Whip with. If you're making it with the traditional spices, it tastes all right. But if you're making it with cardboard and used cat litter, it tastes horrible.
Ew.
Yeah. We won't ask the question on how you know about the cat litter. We're just going to leave it alone.
don't get me started.
Uh-oh. But I had a problem with all this. You talk about somebody that was irritated. I was irritated as I don't know what. On a grading scale of that match, what do you give it, Tony?
Are we doing like 5-1 or?
A to F.
A to F? I guess it's C-.
Yep.
Since it was an opening show, I'll give it a C+, just because it was the pre-show.
Ty, what do you think?
What match are we talking about?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, I keep forgetting you came in. It's the Cesaro, Ricochet versus Sheamus and Rhea Tomlin.
The kickoff match. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd have to give it a B.
You're nice. Oh, wow.
What do you
okay.
mean?
Well, let me be the jerk here, because I'm giving it a D. I just did not care for that match at all.
Well, that's fair enough.
I've had so many problems. I don't even know how to explain it. So Tony, you said C-, Rob, you said C+, Ty, you said B. I'm saying a D. Average looks like it's going to be a C on that one.
That's fair.
Don't get me wrong. I'm nice, but you know, I didn't want to be coming out the woodwork being nicey. You know what I mean? So.
I'm coming out the woodwork.
Now if it's a match,
I don't care.
If it's a match I don't care for, then yeah, I'm going to be harsh about it.
I didn't care for this one. That's why yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a baseball.
However, I did read about. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. However, the only nice thing I liked about it was Ricochet breaking Ridge Holland's nose.
Yes, that was the pleasure part about the whole thing. I love that. Oh my God, I was jumping up for joy. I almost made the neighbors look. What's going on with you?
I didn't catch it the other night while watching the kickoff match, but I read somewhere the day after where it said something about Ricochet broke Rich Holland's nose, and they had a picture of how it happened. That was the only thing I liked about it.
And his foot went right up his nostril. I loved every bit of it.
A
little sadistic.
That right there earned it a B for her.
Yeah. So maybe I'm a little harsh because I did give it a D. That was a pleasurable spot right there. It's still average to a C. That's what it
deserves.
No,
it would have been an A plus. It would have been an A plus for me, but I gave it a B. I said what I said. Now y'all leave me alone.
We're going to get on your TikTok. That's all.
I don't have TikTok.
What's the saying that you have? I thought it was TikTok.
No.
Okay.
I was joking about it last. It was a joke last week where I said, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. That was a joke.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to bring it back, and you just ruined the whole. All right. Anyway.
Well, I'm sorry.
Next matchup, the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The Usos, the champions, take it on a New Day. Tony, kick this one off.
Okay, I will say last week on the show I predicted the New Day to win this one. I will admit, and in the thread, I changed my pick when Roman went out. But I actually love this match. I thought the match was really good. The only problem I had with it is the fact that we've seen it 50 million times, but despite the fact that we've seen it 50 million times, I thought it was still an entertaining match, though. I really did like it.
Right on. Ty, go ahead with this match.
Probably the best match of the night.
Okay, Ty, what do you think of this match?
Yeah, I'm like Tony. We've already seen this match 20 billion times. But I do agree it was the best match of the night. I had the Usos keeping the titles anyway, because there was no way in hell New Day was going to win it.
True. Rob, what did you think of this match?
Well, like you guys have said, this match has been overbooked and it's been like overdone so many times that it's hard to even pay attention to it anymore. But all four of those guys bring it every time that they get into the ring, and it's because their talent, again, outshines the overall booking of what they're trying to do, and you can't help but pay attention. I mean, shenanigans aside, I love New Day. I love them from the time the bell rings until the time the bell rings again. It's just the stuff that they do from the entrance ramp to the ring sort of bothers me, because it seems like the company is trying to constantly turn them into a joke. However, the when they get in the ring, Kofi and Woods, especially when that combination is together, they just deliver on a wonderful professional scale, and so do Jimmy and Jay. It's but there's only so many times that you can have meatloaf before you strangle the cook. And but that doesn't mean it's not damn good meatloaf. It is. It's just they need to find another match.
Robert's making me hungry again.
Well, I'm sorry. I keep talking about food.
I talk about miracle whip and mashed potatoes right now. Meatloaf.
I'm sorry. I'll keep the food. I'll keep the food analogies to a minimum from now on. But
no,
you guys
I don't mind the food analogies. I love it. You know, but
okay.
I can't complain because I just compared AEW to Duke's mayonnaise.
Which was a good comparison, I have to admit.
And it is.
Well, let me say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All I was going to say was that the match itself was good. It just we need a new match. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I agree with Robert. We need a new match, and they need a new rival, a new feud.
Well, let me say this. I agree. It has been done numerous times. Okay, the matchup has been done numerous times. The thing that makes me have to disagree with you guys on is the Usos and the New Day. If you really think about it, it came up with numerous ways to end the match. That is just something that you would not expect, but it's like, damn, that was kind of cold. For instance, last night, they played homage to the Dudley Boys.
Right. I mean, to finish the match with the 3D, I mean, honestly, when they ended the match with 3D, I was like, I hope they keep using that move.
I do, too. And it makes sense because it's from a family tag team to another family tag team. I like that. You know what I'm saying? The coalition between the two and the actual psychology is just awesome with that.
Well, they know each other so well by now. I mean, it's almost on a Jerry Lawler versus Bill Dundee level with these two tag teams. They know exactly what the other is thinking, and they can come up with some very creative and innovative ways to end a match. It's just
I agree. But my thing is this: the nice thing about that yesterday
was the fact that they have wrestled so much and they know each other so well, it took like a whole different move to end it. Like, we never seen them use a 3D. So, I mean, that was great. I love that.
And they keep pulling something out of the hat that'll keep you interested in looking like what they're going to pull off next.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And I just think that you have two very exceptional groups there. And unfortunately, they made one look like some dumbasses, and it takes away from a little bit of the flavor. And I wish they would let them go like I know they can go, because WWE holds their wrestlers back on wrestling a certain way a lot. And I just wish they would let them go and let them wrestle. Because they are.
I mean, you can see that with Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. I mean, as great as Daniel Bryan was in WWE, his matches in he has so many phenomenal matches in WWE that can't even touch his matches he had in AEW in a short amount of time.
Right. I dig what you're saying, and we're gonna get to that in a second. You've been reading my notes. You can read my notes, man. I mean, but I can't sit there and ignore this match. This match caught my eye, kept me interested. I watched through the whole thing. I have no complaints about the Usos taking the tag team championships because I know what they're hooked up into, you know. And I have no the way they lost made New Day look even better. In my eyes. Because now it's like, okay, you got caught with something. What are you going to come to do? Come back with them and surprise them with? You know what I'm saying? What are we going to pull out of our bag from the past that since they did the 3D, what are you guys going to do? So, I don't know. I really respect both teams. Let's get a grade on this match. Tony, what you say?
I get an A plus. It was a phenomenal match.
Ty, what do you say?
I give it an A.
Rob?
Aside from the fact that we've seen it before, which doesn't really take away from it, except from a booking perspective, I've got to agree with Ty and give it an A.
Right on. I am definitely giving it an A. I'm sorry. It's just, it was a phenomenal match. And then, like we said, what they did at the end was just, it stole the show, really.
I mean, they set the bar high. It was hard to follow them.
Yeah, it was very hard to follow them.
Oh yeah. Again, it's not the teams. It's not the boys. It's the booking.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I mean, it was a tough one, right? Because the one thing we keep talking about, how much we've seen it. I really didn't have a lot of. It wasn't that match I was looking forward to. It was just like, okay, here we go again. And I was actually like, okay, at least it's the first match, get it out the way early. And it was a phenomenal match, though. Like, even though, despite the fact that, like, we've seen it over and over again, it kept my attention. I love the match.
Yeah, and I love long-term feuds. It's just they need to figure out a different way of presenting it, I guess, is really the issue.
I mean, but think about this. Who do they really have?
That's the problem.
As a tag team that could really be up in their level. Nobody's
well, yeah,
in their level.
Yeah, that is another legitimate issue.
They don't even have anybody close to their. I mean, RK-Bro, come on, man. No. I'm sorry. As much as I like Randy Orton, I hate Matt Riddle. I mean, the bird got his ass.
That's what I hate about the thing. I love Orton. I hate Riddle.
But that's what I'm saying. I would love to see Randy Orton.
Tag team, though. I mean, they're together because they got over. Like, the fans love the entertainment part of it, and that's why Vince was pushing them to the moon, though. But they're not, like, a legit tag team, in my opinion.
Yeah.
No, they're not. And I'm trying to think. Everybody, the Undisputed's left. They can't come up out of NXT and do anything. They got rid of Hit Row, which they had a tag team, and they got rid of them, so they don't have that either. I don't see anybody.
They really haven't been using the Street Profits the right way lately.
Oh, God.
They've basically been misusing them.
Okay. Can I say something? And Rob knows this. For some reason, I have not liked the Street Profits. And I think it goes back to their character selection. This goofy, I'm supposed to be street hood with a red solo cup. That's number one to me, that's kind of conflicting because I thought the red solo cup thing was a country thing.
What I think when you think about red solo cups is more like a country redneck persona.
Right. How the heck
but
do you get that in a team that's from the city that's supposed to be street thugs?
That's what I don't understand. That's what I don't like about the Street Profits. I mean.
Okay, so I'm not the only one. All right. That makes me feel better because I felt kind of guilty not liking them. I started feeling guilty not liking them because it's like, why am I not clicking with these cats? And it's just like, okay, I see why, but can't they do a character change or something and they just snap off? You know? I don't know.
Well, let's just come out and say it. They could make them less goofy, and they could give them a little more testicular fortitude.
Yeah, it's like they don't have balls.
Yeah, I
actually agree. Plus, I also want to add, if you take away the red Solo cup, they would be taken seriously as a tag team. Because this whole hood, red country, redneck fusion, I'm just not feeling it.
Here's an interesting question that I want to pit to everybody. We got the Street Profits are not really it's a gimmick problem with them. Now, you compare them though to Private Party in AEW. My question is there a similar problem there, or is there a defining difference between those teams that makes one better than the other? Not necessarily in the ring, but overall.
Okay, let me take this one. I definitely want to take this one.
All right.
Private Party. They need to really work on telling a story when they wrestle. That's their problem. I will give Street Profits that. They have shown glimpses or traces of being able to do that. They can be a true legendary, fortified tag team. The problem is Private Party don't have that skill. They just don't. You know, it ain't got nothing to do with the character at all, because both of the roles they play suck. You know what I'm saying? I mean, both of them do. But at least with the Street Profits, I can say, hey, they got some technical things about them that makes me interested on what would they do if they didn't have that crap. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like Hit Row either. Hit Row, to me, one of the dudes had talent and the other one didn't. I had a problem with Hit Row is because this is what you're saying and giving the example of what young black men are nowadays. And I really took offense when it came out, and I kind of swallowed my pride. It was like, all right, let me check them out and look at them. And the only one was that one small dude. The Isaiah Swerve, I think that was his name. The little dude on the tag team. So, okay. He was the best one out of all of them.
Yes.
The rest of them was just like, okay, B-Fab, shut the fuck up. I don't care about you. You know, take your braids, double dutch somewhere else. She got on my nerves. Big dude got on my nerves. I'm just being real.
Top dollar.
Big dude got on my nerves.
Big guys, top dollar.
Yeah, top dollar. I think we need some change for that dollar, because he came up real short on showing skill in the ring. So you a dollar? You a dollar? Now you a second 50 cent to me right now. Rap all you want to. I mean, because your wrestling ain't doing it. It's just that's the difference between all three of them. They cannot, and I'm going to say this again, and some people are going to get mad when they listen to it out there, because I got a couple of emails, and honestly, I don't give a crap. WWE, and we can say AEW also, but AEW hasn't had a chance yet. But WWE specifically has proven throughout time they cannot handle an intelligent, I'm not even going to say black guy, an intelligent character, period. Look at they deal with the Genius. They screwed his role up, and he could have been the best heel out of everybody with that gimmick, you know. And they don't know how to portray intelligence in a fighting fashion. You got to be either a dumb brute like Brock Lesnar, say one-liners, wink at the camera, suplex 300 times, and then do an F5 and it's over. You got to be that tight. Or you got to be the, I look like a model so every woman going to wet her panties tight. You know, I mean, there's no wrestlers except Daniel Bryan when he was there. And you had CM Punk when he was there. And look what they're at. Intelligent characters that just can't get over. And I used to think it was just intelligent black guys, but I'm just started thinking about history. It's intelligent characters. The only intelligent character that got over was Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the history of wrestling. Think about it. Seriously. That's my take on it. If I'm wrong, hey, it happens. So, we're going to the one match that confused the heck out of me, and I guess it's partly because I try to watch, and I just can't. Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss. Yeah.
The whole match came across to me as just a throwaway. They don't know what to do with Moss or Corbin, and they've got them in this silly-ass gimmick that is, in the end, is not going to go anywhere, and they needed somebody to feed to McIntyre because they couldn't put him in the main event because him versus Lesnar is probably what we're going to get in April. So they're keeping those two as far apart as possible, and this was just something for McIntyre to eat up. That was just my take on it.
So do you think that they're actually going to go ahead and say McIntyre and Lesnar for WrestleMania?
I don't think so.
I'm asking Rob,
because that's what it kind of hinted on.
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems to be – if putting together the jigsaw puzzle that is Vince McMahon's mind – and putting together the – yeah, I know, bad, hard task to do. But putting that together with the overall picture of this show in general, I think that's what we're going to get in April. Eventually we're going to get McIntyre versus Lesnar.
Okay. I want us to hold off on this because this was something I wanted to talk about later. Let's get to the pay-per-view first. But I want everybody.
Okay.
No, that's good. I'm glad you brought it up. This is something that I want to talk about once we got to going through all the matches. So this one, McIntyre versus Madcap Moss, did anybody have any enjoyment out of this match?
No.
Enjoyment for the match. It didn't suck as bad as I expected.
I didn't even lie.
I didn't understand that why that wasn't on the pre-show.
Thank
you.
You
know, I was thinking the same thing, because with a match like McIntyre and Moss, I didn't enjoy it because I knew it was going to be a squash match from the beginning, and it should have been on the pre-show.
First of all, I don't understand why it was Moss and not Baron Corbin. We got a pay-per-view show. You got two guys together. The better wrestler is at ringside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, it was mainly just to give McIntyre somebody to chew up and spit out. And I think the reason that it wasn't on the pre-show is because they actually expect people to watch the pre-show. And so they put the better match on the pre-show, such as it was, in order to – because they think it's going to make people – they think it's going to make people commit to the pay-per-view.
I get that. No. I mean, you bring that up. I do get that, though, because that match is not going to, like, keep you interested and like, make you excited to watch the pay-per-view. So from that aspect, I definitely get that. It was just It was horrible.
Yeah. If I was actually the one booking this stuff and putting the matches in order, honestly, I could have got away with it on the pre-show because it would have been the very first match you saw. Because people are still filling them seats up or whatever, so put it on in. You know what I'm saying? I would have did that. Because I'm sorry. Why in God's green earth was that tag team match in a pre-show? That should have never been in the pre-show.
You know, I do want to say that tag match with Cesaro and Ricochet and Sheamus and Ridge Holland, that should have been on the main card instead of the pre-show.
Without a doubt.
That's my take on it.
I think McIntyre
and Moss should have been on the kickoff show.
Or if you never have McIntyre and Moss on the kickoff show, it should have been Corbin in the ring with McIntyre. Like, I don't understand why he wasn't wrestling Corbin.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. That definitely makes sense as well.
It does. I would agree with that if they had given the McIntyre Moss match. We're going to get that tag team now. We're going to get Moss and McIntyre. They're going to call it McIntosh.
That's true.
I would agree with that if they had given the McIntyre match more time, then they could have put it in the pre-show. I mean, as painful as that thought is, they should have made it McIntyre Corbin.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, that was mistake one. Like for a pay-per-view, I mean, McIntyre Moss a SmackDown match.
Let's face it. This match was Kleenex. It was the equivalent of Kleenex. It was just something to use to put on camera and then go away.
You're nice to call it Kleenex. You're nice to call it Kleenex. I would have called it toilet paper. Just saying.
Well, I wasn't gonna go that direction, but okay, it was a throwaway match.
I drove straight there.
it was the ultimate example of filler, is what it was.
Yeah. All right, so Rob, what's your vote on this match?
Oh my God!
Great.
D plus at best.
Okay. D plus. Rob, what do you say? I mean, not Rob, but Tony.
I give it a D minus. And the only reason I didn't give it an F because the match was better than I thought it was going to be.
Ty, what's your grade?
D minus.
I give it an F.
Bobby flags it. Damn. Well,
I'm throwing that flag like I'm an NFL referee right near it.
And you threw the brown flag, actually.
Yes.
Toilet paper.
Yes, because it's
brown.
Yes, exactly. There you go. Now you understand it. Thank you very much. Oh, my God. Oh. All right, let's get
in
on
fact,
to
that conversation was more fun than the match.
It really was.
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was. All right. We got an hour left. Raw Tag Team Championship, RK-Bro versus the Street Profits. The Migos come down with RK-Bro? Really?
What the hell?
It was like... I get them.
Why
though? Of that match, but like, really? What RK Bro? Like,
you have the team called the Street Profits. The Street Profits and you put the Migos, which is a gangster street rap group, with the biggest, whitest, I can't say Randy Orton. No. Randy can't say that about Randy.
Like, you got them for that mask. This is a slam dunk. This is an alley oop. This is so easy that only an idiot can fuck it up. Sorry, mess it up. If I got WWE in it.
Guys, this was
add something to this. May I please give my take on this?
Of course.
Yes, please, sir.
Okay. I think Migos should have came out with the Street Profits.
Thank you.
And the reason being is because the Street Profits are more rap, street persona, and I think Migos would have been a better fit with coming out to the Street Profits. RK-Bro, just no.
I think it would have been about Riddle, that's his street.
That's the shittiest move ever to have Migos come out with RK-Bro. I think Migos should have came out with the Street Profits. It would have worked a whole lot better.
This is what I mean about Vince McMahon being out of touch.
Way out of touch. Yeah.
Well, he missed this like a blind man trying to cross the street by himself.
Well, guys,
this was terrible.
This is what happens when WWE tries to subvert expectations. They realize that the square peg does not fit in the round hole. They realize that, but they want to do that anyway and sledgehammer the peg into the wrong hole in order to call it different. That was the whole point of that. They thought that going against the natural continuity and making the whole thing look stupid would be something that they could point to and say, hey, we're being different, subverting expectations. That was the whole point.
Yeah, but instead, it was like, hey, you're being stupid.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yes, it was absolutely stupid.
Yes.
But somebody in a boardroom said, hey, guys, wouldn't it just turn everybody's fucking head? Sorry. Wouldn't it just turn everybody's head if we had him come out with RK-Bro instead? Wow. Somebody in a boardroom made that decision. It was not based on logic.
No type of brains whatsoever in the planning of that or execution of that. I'm surprised nobody said, "Hey, listen."
No, that
you know, you could tell there's a bunch of yes men back there because back in the day, type of thing would have not been overlooked. That type of thing would have never went off like that.
Yeah, that was a purely corporate decision. I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Dunn himself, with the Bucky Beaver teeth, went into I wouldn't be surprised if he went into that particular meeting and said, "Hey, let's have the rapper come out with RK-Bro and people will be shocked." You know, that would not surprise me in the slightest bit.
Shock is good in wrestling, but it's got to be good shock. That wasn't good shock. That was like, I'm
that
shocked you guys did this.
Horrible shock.
Yeah, I know. It was an absolutely dumb decision, but somebody wanted to point to it and say, this will surprise people, this will shock people, and didn't take the moment to say this is stupid and will make no sense, because that's not what the...
Hey, I just wanted to really touch on something real quick. I know where Kevin Dunn got his bachelor's degree from.
Okay.
Do you know where?
I can hardly guess.
The Wisconsin Badgers. Look at his teeth.
Oh, good Lord.
God.
Hell. Oh.
Oh, I can't stand
now,
that.
Now, what about the match itself?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. We got to know how they already screwed it up from the beginning. What about the match itself? What did you think of the actual match? I can say they didn't do too bad, but it wasn't something that I jump up and down about.
I did like the finish though. I did as much as I hate Riddle. I did like him setting up the RKO.
Yeah.
So overall, match was decent. Good finish. Like anytime we get a different version of a Diamond Cutter, I'm always happy.
Yeah, that's true. I got to give you that. So, yeah. What would you say would be the grade on this one? Rob, you go first.
Well, overall, aside from the ridiculous shenanigans at the beginning, the match quality was pretty decent and a good ending, so we'll give it a passing grade of a B-.
Okay. Tony, what do you think?
I'm going to give it a B- as well. It would have been a higher grade because I was really hoping the Street Profits, when everybody was in the ring and they were doing all the, like, celebrating, and I was really hoping the Street Profits went full-fledged tail and turn on them. They would have got a higher grade at that point, but for what it was, though, I give it a B-.
I know. Ty, what do you think? What's the grade?
I played the fifth. Can I just give it an I for incomplete?
Well,
mainly because I still think Migos should have came out with the Street Profits. So I give it an I for incomplete.
That's still a letter grade. That's acceptable.
I see what she's saying. I get what she's saying. Yeah.
The reason I said that is because you don't see. I mean, let me think of the perfect analogy. RK-Bro coming out with Migos is like AJ Styles coming out to his entrance with Jason Aldean. You don't see AJ Styles coming out to the ring with Jason Aldean.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I'm giving it a C. It's because that initial thing right there, first impressions last a lifetime, and that right there is just embedded in my head. I can't get it out, and that devalued the good things they did in that match for me.
You
want to watch a match on a certain level of the competitors, and you want it all to flow right. And when you have a mistake like that, it throws off the equilibrium of you enjoying that match. Mm-hmm. That
like spitting
totally
in the middle of a... Yeah, like spitting in the middle of a chocolate shake.
Yeah. That's you're right on point on that. But it's true. It's true. I'm giving that a C. So with the incomplete, the two Bs, that is a C-, actually. God, okay. So, after that match, we go to Edge versus Miz.
Hmm.
any the ending I predicted, but I liked how they did it. It was the execution inside the match itself that I didn't like.
Yeah. It was, for me,
okay.
It was a disappointing match because I think for this match, I expected more out of them. In my opinion, Edge has been doing better. I'm not a huge Edge fan. I don't hate him. I've never been a big, huge Edge person. But I think what he's done since he's been back has been really good. Like, his work with Seth Rollins has been incredible. His feud with Randy Orton is really good. I'm really expecting a lot more out of him. And I think Miz is really underrated for how good he is in the ring. And this match, this really... I think Miz, people don't give him credit for what he could do in the ring.
What can he do?
How ready to do it. And this match, nothing. Like, this match fell short.
Which match didn't fall short?
I'm not saying he's Ric Flair or anything like that in the ring, though, but Miz is one as a solid performer in the ring. He's not horrible.
Okay. I guess I could go with that because I am – it is the Miz. Everybody tries to compare MJF
–
hold on.
More than Miz.
Hold on. They try to compare the Miz with MJF, and the only reason is because of MJF, of who he is on the mic, and for what WWE tells Miz to be on the mic. I think you can get that distinction that I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? I don't think this is the Miz. I don't think this is really who he is. MJF, yeah, that's him. You know what I'm saying? I didn't met the man once in person. Yeah, that's him. And if that's just what he does because he protects his character, he does a darn good job. You know, Miz, I can see right through that dude. That dude is a pane glass to me. And it's been wiped with Windex 5 times. You can see clearly through that picture. And the Miz is nowhere near something that should even be in that spot. I think the only reason that they're doing it is because of the wives. As you saw, Beth Phoenix came back last night. I'm glad to see her back. I love Beth Phoenix. And just to bring her out, I can stomach it. But I don't have to like stomaching it. I'm thinking, honestly, the women are going to outshine the guys in this thing. It's not going to be because of Edge. It's going to be because of the Miz. That's just my honest take on it.
Here's the other problem I have with the Edge Beth versus Miz and Maurice thing and the way it's going, because you know it's working its way to, like, the wives going to be involved in this.
Yeah.
We've seen this with Miz and Maurice and John Cena and Nikki.
Okay. Hold on. Wait. No, I can't say we've seen this and you put Nikki Bella in there. Nah.
Whoa, wait. I'm not saying Nikki. No, I can't stand that fucking bitch. But I'm just talking about the whole husband-wife feuding thing. I'm talking about the husband-wife feud. Not like talent-wise.
Right. No, I get what you're saying, but see, what I'm saying, this is, to me, a different dynamic. Because Nikki, it's just not... probably in all types of ways, but... I mean, I'm so wrong. Let me finish this.
Okay.
It's Beth Phoenix is somebody that is fierce in that ring. She commands that ring. Edge commands that ring. Maryse, in her own way, can command that ring. She can play that little victim, blah, 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 but I'm really a bitch type role. She can do that very well because I think that is her. Okay? I think she's really like that, and she's just going to work being herself, making millions of dollars. But she does it well, and it's good for the entertainment purpose. The Miz is the weak link I see out of all of this because it is so phony watching him. It's like Vanilla Ice rapping again.
Let's take a step and a half back here and realize that something that Tony said a few minutes ago, the measuring stick that we're working with is not horrible. You realize that the
right.
standard we're shooting for right now is not horrible, and Miz and Edge are professionals enough to put together a competent and somewhat entertaining match when they have to. And that's what they did here to a certain extent. But the problem here again is that we know what this is building to, and we've seen some kind of version of this before. Husband and wife versus husband and wife, and it all kind of factors into Ms. and Mrs., and it feels like they are like desperately looking for footage of that show instead of booking a competent feud inside of the television that we want to watch.
Exactly.
That's the overall feel here. Now, as far as the Miz's talents go, Bobby, I think you may be like projecting your own dislike of the man himself onto, because he can move. I mean, he's not a complete incompetent inside the ring. Granted, he's no Daniel Bryan, and he's certainly nowhere close to Bryan Danielson. He could hang with Daniel Bryan, which is Bryan Danielson with like the parking brake on. Yeah, but we're not talking about we're not talking about Nia Jax in there. That's not a personality thing. I'm not hating on her. I'm just saying that there's a certain the Miz has a competence to him that he brings into the ring. It's just the dynamic of what they're shooting for doesn't really work here.
You know, I was messing with you, right? I do love Nia Jax, though. I do love her. She can come and...
I like Nia Jax, too. It's just that she was prone to certain mistakes. And that's not a knock on her personally. It's just that, you know what I'm saying. It's not about...
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but all I'm going to say in this matter is, Nia Jax, if you're ever listening, you can make mistakes on me anytime you want to. So we just gonna leave it alone.
Okay.
I will come out retirement for that.
Oh, good Lord. Seriously, though, the Miz and Edge are competent with each other inside the ring, especially Edge, who can put together a good match. It's just the direction that they're going feels like, and your analogy with the Windex was spot on. The whole thing is too squeaky clean, and it just feels like they're making fodder for the reality show instead of doing wrestling.
Yeah.
That's 100% right there, because can we, like, I guess you're right. I can't say he can't hold his own in the ring. He can. I will give him that. He does hold his own.
It's WWE. The only thing in WWE you need to be able to do is hold your own in the ring and be good on the mic. Like, WWE is not five-star wrestlers. You know that.
Well,
and they
not.
Don't want them to be either.
It's not.
Right.
It's like 2.5 to 3 at best. Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I cannot get more. But in this match, what would you say would be the good points, and what would you say would probably be the bad points of this match?
Okay. Maurice's outfit, good point.
Yeah, I give her that. So that's why we got
my bad point is just too predictable. I mean we just saw it coming. I was really hoping they go with the angle where Maurice helped Miz win the match, and then you bring in Beth after that. Like, I really thought that's how they was gonna go with it, because realistically, like, okay, Edge won this one, and then they're going to do their Miz tag, and Edge and Beth will win that one, and it's going to be over, though.
I don't know. I don't see WWE doing that. I think Miz and Maurice will win this one, and actually, guess who they're going to actually have to get the pinfall of the victory in this whole thing?
Maurice over Beth?
Yes. Mark my words.
Huh.
That'd be interesting to
see. I see that happen.
Yeah. I mean, the best part of the whole match was the ending, and the fact that they were that they were trying to build toward what the problem with it is that we've seen it all before. It's it's like autopilot booking.
Not only we did this before, but it's like, and we did this at the same time of the year. It's just like,
they built it for that match to be a WrestleMania.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt.
More than likely, yeah.
So, let's get with the grades. Mm-hmm. What do we grade this match? Rob, go first.
We're talking C-plus range.
Okay. Ty, what do you say?
I give it a C-plus also, but I did predict that Beth would get involved. If she didn't get involved on Raw before day one, more than likely she would be involved at day one. But I think they would have done it to, like, how they would have brought Beth in to the feud with Edge. They should have done it a little bit better.
I agree with you on that, and we'll go over that
so
in a second.
C plus for me, but they still should have worked it in, worked Beth Phoenix in with the feud with Edge and Miz a little bit better.
True. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% agree. Tony, what you say?
Well, I guess I'm going to put my body hat on this one because I give it a D because I thought the match sucked. The finish was fine. Them coming out was a nice way to keep it going, but I just really thought that both guys under-delivered in the match. I didn't like the match at all.
And I got to give it the same, a D. I have to agree with them. It seemed like they were cutting it short, and I think I understand why. I just don't like why.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, why cheat us on a good match? Both those guys could put on a better match than they did. And even if you have low expectations out of Miz as a wrestler, Miz can perform better than he did in that ring, and so can Edge. It's just like it wasn't really about the match. It was about the finish. And that's what I didn't like about it. Why cheat us out of a good match? You can have a good match and that same finish.
That's true. I give you that. I will give you that. Now, I want to take a little side thing for a couple of minutes on something. Ty, you did say something that you would have booked it differently. You thought the ending was kind of cheesy, and I do too. So I want to hear from you first. Not the reason why, but what would you have done differently?
What I would have done differently was, you know, the best way I possibly can, but how I would have booked it differently was, you know, since you introduced Edge into the feud with the Miz, and Miz bringing Maryse into the feud, Edge would have been the same way introducing Beth Phoenix into the feud, but I would have did it to where it would have been a surprise, like unexpected.
I get what you're saying. See, all right, look, I will tell you exactly how I would have did it.
Came out at all.
No, I'm going to tell you exactly how I did it. All right. In this match, let's say you had day one, right? Because it wouldn't have happened now. But let's just say you're doing day one.
Yeah.
All right? Day one, what would have happened was Edge and Miz would have been going at it. They'd be going at it better than what they really were. And then what would have happened is Edge was getting the best of them. All of a sudden, and Maryse is, you know, everybody talk about Maryse looks, right? Have her have one of those things to where she's powdering her face around the ring, just bragging about how beautiful she is. Once Edge starts getting into the end of the match to where he's about to take over and win, Maryse should have did something. He bent over to say something to her, and she threw powder in his face. Roll up, 1, 2, 3, get out the ring. Miz wins.
So basically use Maryse as a distraction.
Exactly.
Now,
that's how they got to the win.
Now, you go to Monday, right? Monday, Edge is ticked off because he's got the powder thrown in his face. He's like, what the heck? You know, you got to have your wife do your dirty work. Come on out here. I want you to come out here, face me head up, me and you, Miz. Miz comes out there by itself. Miz like, hold on, whoa, don't be trying to run up on me. Hold on. We need to talk, you know. And, you know, he's like, I don't want to talk. We need to talk. And then Miz goes to a speech, and Miz starts off soft. And then he's like, he's sorry to a point, but maybe he's not. Because blah, 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 and he's better than him, and he's this. And he starts getting nasty. And while Edge is just ready to go up there and run him over and just get him, Maryse sneaks right behind him and low blows him. Edge goes to the ground. Maryse and Miz starts pounding on Edge. Then all of a sudden, Beth Phoenix music hits. She runs to the ring. They scatter. She's protecting her dude. They're outside talking crap, and that ends it there. And then you feed into the rivalry.
I like that.
It's a floor build because Because the nice thing about that build is the fact that, like, we all know it's going to lead to WrestleMania. WrestleMania is in April. It's in January right now. You're going to throw everything out there in January. January 1st, to be honest. So,
no. Yeah.
They should just, they gotta slow it down.
Yeah. That was too jerky. I would have had that, and everybody would have wanted that. It's like sub main event. After I got to it.
Well, Bobby, I get what you're saying, and that is good long-term booking. However, I would have went about it a little bit different direction. We all know that, and everybody watching knows that the wives are going to get involved. So, what I would have done was I would have had Miz and Maurice come out first last night, and then they would have done some kind of spiel to get heat, and then Edge's music would have hit. He would have come out to the ramp. Then Beth's music hits. She comes down to the ramp, and then the faces run into the ring, and we get a two-on-two Donnybrook. And we get a full-on uncontrollable fight between the husbands and the wives, and the match never happens. The whole you get like a 5-minute uncontrollable brawl.
I like that with
the match
not happening. I do like that.
You get a 5-minute uncontrollable brawl where they completely destroy the announce tables and wreck ringside, and they have to bring out all the security and pull everybody apart. The match never happens, and then we get Ms. TV on Raw. And then we get the interview drama, and Miz and Maurice have like the local cops surrounding the ring so that the brawl doesn't happen again, and you draw heat that way. That's now the way Bobby does it is good, but since we already know that the wives are coming out anyway, why not just do it with a big bang?
But here's the bang I would have went with, and this would never happen. Before I throw this out there, what I would love to see, it would never happen. But I would throw the swerve, and Lita's the one that came out for Edge.
Oh, God. Doesn't one of the guys in the wrestling group hate Lita?
Yeah, somebody in the group really hates Lita. It's
George Walker.
George,
who hates them.
Yeah, he despises.
Oh, that's
Lita.
Funny.
Oh, now
that would have knocked the hell out of everybody.
that would have been an unexpected twist, to be sure. That opens a whole new can of phosphorus right there. But that would be fun to see.
You know darn well Beth Phoenix would not let that happen.
Oh,
Beth Phoenix would have been whooping everybody in WWE.
Because Beth Phoenix will have no problem shutting that shit down.
That's what I'm saying. She would have did that right off the top. Well, they talked about me working with Lita. What? You working with who? You ain't working with her.
I have no problem believing.
Here's my interpretation of how that would be if Beth Phoenix found out. Honey, I'm thinking about working with Lita. Who? Lita, you working with your ex? Oh, hell no. It'll be a cold day in hell when you work with that bitch. Nope, not going to fucking happen.
I have no problem believing that in a shoot fight, Beth Phoenix would probably injure Lita severely.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I just want to hear that phone call. I want to hear that phone call to Vince off of that, though. Vince?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, what's up? Yeah. What are you doing? You
like the idea, huh? You want to do that? Huh? Well, I got to say, I can't do it. My Beth won't let me.
Now, I don't know if like the current senile Vince would piss that though, but Vince back in the day, the same man who like pissed him or Shane being the father of Stephanie's kid, oh, he definitely would have like pissed that idea. Had Lita come out.
Yeah, he would have.
Yeah, that is definitely an attitude era kind of thing, and they would never do that today.
Yeah, they would never do that today. He likes eggs. Vince wouldn't allow it, and Beth wouldn't allow it either.
No, probably not.
They just like the eggs. Eggs.
I just thought of eggs. You know, when they call her as the rated R superstar, I'm like, he hasn't been rated R since Lita.
So haven't. Lita took that away from him.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for... No, I don't. I don't give a shit. Anyway.
You were going to say, I feel bad for Lita. You were like, oh, never mind. I don't care.
You know? No, I don't care. All right. So let's go to the next one. Next match. We only got 24 minutes left. We're probably going to have to do the independents on another recording. And that's what it looks like, because we ain't going to have enough time to go through the actual awards. We will post them on Facebook. We'll get together, talk amongst ourselves, get the nominees and post the nominees on Facebook. You guys will have a say. And then what will happen is next week we'll announce the winners of those. And then we'll go ahead and see which winners battle winners and which independent stars get the actual nod in the winners of those categories.
Bobby, where does the actual voting happen?
The actual voting is going to happen on Facebook. It's going to be on the R.A. Rogers page, but if I can get the Future Focus page unlocked, we will have it on there. Look on R.A. Rogers' webpage, the NWG Motown Wrestler Group Facebook page. If you're not a member, get in there, be a member, good moderators, good discussions. Funny things happen in there. I die laughing in there. I love the group.
Oh, yeah, but I don't
know.
Sweet. Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be in those. It'll be in a couple other places, so just look out. It might even be on your page, Rob. We don't know. But
we'll figure it out.
Yeah. The next match. We got about 11 minutes on this one. Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. I already know Tony's opinion.
He hates that trifling witch, Becky. So we already know about that.
Can I grade it now?
And so do I.
Can we talk about the match?
Yeah. Ty, start this off. What the heck's up with this match? I'm trying to figure this out.
Mainly because of the finish.
Ooh. She said
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's what you feel. Do the same.
That's what I apologize for. You're being nice. Wait till my turn.
Ooh. Well, Rob, let's get you out the way, and then we're going to Tony after this. Let's help the suspense.
Okay. All right. Well, needless to say that the shine is off Becky. And it has... I don't know why the trigger was never pulled on the women's division in the WWE, because they had the potential to make it the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they've degenerated it down to the point where it's almost the afterthought that it was in the Attitude Era. It hasn't gone that far. It hasn't gone that far yet. They've still got people. They've still got ladies that can put on great matches. But now they are totally going in the wrong direction with this, and that's really all I can really say about it.
So what grade do you give it?
Oh, God. We're talking D at best.
All right. Okay. Tony?
Let the slaughter begin.
Yes.
First of all, I would like to apologize to all the
You get the blood all over the place. They can call me OJ all day long.
I'm going to apologize to everybody right now for my language, and anybody who don't like bad language, you might want to, like, not stop listening now. That was some fucking bullshit last night. I couldn't stand that match. The fact that I'm going to give it an F- is because I can't think of a lower grade to give it. Becky has run the course. Mm. The fact that, like, this fucking entitled bitch is still getting this push, I don't get it. Like, she doesn't, like, she lost. I get it when, like, Nia Jax blasts this little bitch in the face and bloodied her, and everybody loved her after that. We're past that. Like, she's not that person anymore. Like, we're beyond that shit. She sucks on, like, she sucks in the ring. You build this feud up for her just to, like, beat her again. Like, what's the whole put Liv over in this match? Even if you only have a title on her for a little while, you put Liv over right now. Even if she dropped the title at the Royal Rumble, cool. You shook things up. The Women's Revolution is dead, and she's a big part of it because it's just like it's the same old stuff. This is like Attitude Era stuff. That was a low point of the night. Watching TBB walk out of that ring with the belt again. She sucks in the ring and she sucks on the mic, and I just can't. And the sad part about it is I don't see the WWE taking the belt off her anytime soon. That's the sad part about this shit. I don't know. She got to have dirt on somebody. But she got a video of Vince McMahon doing something he ain't supposed to be doing.
This was eggs.
Oh, okay. In case you missed my grade, it was an F-.
Yeah, I got it. Oh, I thought nobody could get it like I did, but obviously I have met somebody that has. But for the opposite reason, I do understand why they put left the belt on Becky, even though I can't stand her. I knew she was going to walk off with the title.
I knew it too.
But this is my thing. Why did they even give Liv Morgan that position? You could tell when she talked, her lines were rehearsed. She can't cut a promo. Now, I will say this about her, though. She has largely improved in that ring. She's a lot better than what she was before. She just has to get her rhythm and get more chances. I think repetition can solve a lot of things for her. I think she is going to be a very prominent piece in the women's division in the WWE. Shamefully, even though she's been there for a little bit, it's not here now because she hasn't had that many opportunities. This, I saw WWE has given her an opportunity to show that she could be, and that basically it fills Becky's load up a little bit to where she can get a win, she can get an understandable win, but she has a competitive win, and you're both boosting both of them up. So I get it. I get it. Do I like it? No. But do I understand it? You want to make that money. Yeah, I get it. But Liv Morgan was not ready for this. Liv Morgan, I'm sorry. And I think it's mostly the promos because she sounds like a girl that has been picked on in high school and she's just not going to take it anymore. You know, I can't stand.
I actually like that analogy about Liv, where it's like the bully, like this is the girl that's been bullied all her life in school, and now that she's getting up to the point where she's about to graduate, she's just letting everybody know, I'm sick of your shit. I'm not going to take your shit no more.
Yeah, but they should let her say that. They shouldn't be so scripted with her. I think if
I
they
understand.
Let her loose,
I
no,
think
no.
She...
I really think that's the problem with her promos. It's so scripted, and it's scripted to keep her looking weak and Becky looking strong.
Yeah. I think with Liv, if Liv wants to be strong, when it comes to her promos, she doesn't need to hold back in her promos. She needs to just unleash it.
So basically what you're saying is that the WWE writers need to leave her the hell alone and let her do her own damn thing.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Have her do pull a Jon Moxley promo-wise and just not hold back without a fuck given.
Has anybody noticed that they are starting to book Becky Lynch in 2021 and 2022 the same way that they were booking Roman Reigns in 2013 and 14?
I've actually noticed that.
Yeah.
I never even thought about that.
Becky caught on at some point, and now they are so obsessed with keeping her over that they are willing to do any kind of booking they have to in order to keep her on top. It's the same thing that they did with Roman, and people are starting to rebel against it the same way they did before. They didn't learn that lesson. But because Becky got over organically at some point, but now she's losing that, and they're trying to hold on to it with both hands. It's like jelly falling out of your hand, and then you make a fist to try to hold on to it. What's going to happen? It's going to splatter all over the room. That's what's happening here with Becky.
You got a point on that as well. I just, my grade on that match, yeah, I had to give it an F. It was, and I could think of a couple other words I could say about this match that begins with the letter F. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and put that down. Just saying, I mean, just keeping it 100. So we got 12 minutes left. WWE Championship, Big E versus Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins, and last added was Brock freaking Lesnar. And guess who wins? Brock freaking Lesnar. And guess who gets to take pictures with fans? Brock freaking Lesnar. And guess who did 3,000 suplexes, the same move, in the match? Brock freaking Lesnar. So you know what I think about this match? It sucked. Why? Because of Brock freaking Lesnar. And this is what I got into it with a person on Facebook. Let's go through these grades real quick on this match, and I'm going to pose a question to you because we're short on time. What's your grade on the match, Ty?
I give it an F. They take the title off Big E. For why?
Yeah. We'll talk about
what's
that.
The
we're going
to
talk about
what's
that.
What's the point? Yeah. I give it an F.
We're going
to. Because it was bullshit for them to take the title off Big E for Lesnar.
Yeah.
Utter bullshit.
Tony?
I give it a D minus. I'm not going to give it an F. I'll give it a D minus. I get putting Brock in there because for a contract reason, money-wise, they paid him for that day. He's going to work that day. I didn't expect the Big E to walk out of the title, out of this match with the title, even before Brock was added in there. But I really think it's kind of BS that, like, Brock Lesnar in it basically New Day's both title reigns. Fatal five-way.
Yeah. Yep.
Not only did you put my bigger problem than Brock Lesnar winning the title was you cheapened Big E by having him take the pinfall in a match where the champion don't have to be pinned to lose the match. We're going to F5 him and pin him.
Yep. All right.
Biggie got Kofi.
Right now. Rob.
Uh-huh.
Rob.
F.
What's your grade on this match?
F. F bomb.
Ooh.
F to the floor. I give this match an F5. Okay. Let's get beyond my point about Man Mountain Brock. I've already made that. I've made my feelings plain about the fact that I never want to see Lesnar again on any television ever. There were just too many moving parts here. Not only did it make Big E look bad, which was probably the low light of the whole situation, not only was Lesnar not supposed to be involved in this match in the first place, which I know Roman Reigns couldn't help it, nobody could help it, that's just the way the world works right now, but when you add in the fact that that Rollins, Lashley, and Owens were in this match, and that they are perfectly viable performers that could have dug this out of the hole, and maybe if they had to put Lesnar over, they could have at least had somebody that could could absorb the loss, take it. Instead, they basically...
Seth could have taken an L easily in this match and been fine.
Yeah, and it's Kofi all over again. There was absolutely no reason to do what they did other than because Brock Lesnar has absolute damned control over anything that he does in the WWE, and he must have naked pictures of Vince McMahon and midgets somewhere.
All right, with that being said, hold on, because we only got 8 minutes left, so I need to pose this question. Well, actually, 7 now. Obviously, Brock winning the title is trying to make it more intriguing for Rollins versus, not Rollins, but Roman versus Brock, champion versus champion type thing. My thing is this, honestly, this is what I had to debate about with somebody on Facebook about in another group, and they thought I was crazy. So tell me if I'm crazy or not when I say my piece on this. The question that I proposed was, who makes that matchup more interesting? And my thing was, it was neither Brock nor Roman. It was Paul Heyman that made that match. It's Paul Heyman that makes that interesting. Yeah. It's Paul Heyman that everybody is paying attention to in that. And these two are just byproducts of
Paul
what Paul
Heyman,
Heyman
got
is
my
doing.
MVP vote because of that.
We're going to talk about that later on. But, yeah, I mean.
But you're absolutely right.
I mean, but he thought I was nuts. He thought, well, Brock Lesnar sells the tickets and blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, that might have been when he was in UFC or whatever. I might give him that. But right now, this feud right here, this situation right here, they call this a Heyman matter. This is a Heyman thing. This is a Heyman. As soon as he left, he got dull.
Yeah.
See, Brock with his one-liner after winning the championship. He's terrible. Screw him.
Yeah.
And Roman Reigns has a little bit more personality, but he's not on that level. So tell me, am I crazy or am I right on the head here?
You are the only sane person in the room when it comes to that question. Let me tell you, anybody who would, at this point, who would pay tickets to see Brock Lesnar squash the entire WWE roster just because he can is a masochist. Okay, there is no way in hell that I would spend 5 cents to watch anything that Brock Lesnar is in at this point. I would consider that a waste of money.
Here's the thing with Paul Heyman. Roman Reigns is what he is right now because of Paul Heyman. They did everything in their power to get this man over, and it did nothing worked until they put him with Paul Heyman. Brock Lesnar, in all honesty, is who he is because of Paul Heyman. The fact that he got away with wrestling three times a year and having to tire the whole time, Paul Heyman kept him relevant.
Yeah. Vince McMahon wants Brock Lesnar, he wants Roman Reigns, and he wants Becky Lynch. That's it, period, and he doesn't care what anybody else thinks, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, because when he looks at him, he thinks of eggs. Yeah, he thinks of eggs. The golden egg, yes. Oh, Vince.
He gets on my nerves. Oh, God. This was terrible. I'm sorry, this pay-per-view overall, the best match of the night, and I think everybody agrees here, that was a tag team match with the Usos in a New Day.
Oh, without a doubt.
Hands
that
down.
Was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Hands down. Best match of the night. Kudos to you guys. I mean, I don't even think you listen, but if you do, hey, we respect you. You got some skills. You was the match of the night. Keep doing your damn thing. Because this was a fiasco. This, whoever thought this day one concept should have really thought about what the hell they were doing, because this was terrible. This is they wonder why people don't like wrestling, period. they wonder why people don't like wrestling, period, and it's because of showcases like this. You know, I know a lot of the federations out here get crap because, oh, well, he used barbed wire, or he did this, or they did that. And that's what turns people off wrestling. No, that's some. That does turn some people off. But a lot of it is because the goofiness of the WWE. And I don't understand why people don't stand up, stop being fanboys, and call them all out on what they're doing. At least AEW is trying to do something here. WWE
because
is just basically
like
telling
Miracle
people, no, they're saying, give me your money. We don't care what you want. We don't care what you like. We don't care if it makes sense. As long as it has a WWE tag on it, we want your money, and we want it as much as we want it and how often we want it. It's sickening. It's totally sickening. Pro wrestling is about the talent, not about how much money you can get off of a dude that watches that talent.
And WWE do have that mindset. They're the opposite.
Well, like I said, some people like Miracle Whip.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people like Duke's Mayonnaise.
My thing is, I mean, I don't even consider WWE
Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip
no more. I used to like Miracle Whip before this podcast.
I can't even call it Miracle Whip. How can you call it Miracle Whip? Well, Miracle Whip tastes good.
Miracle Whip can be delicious.
Nothing.
Miracle Whip can be delicious. It's just that if you have it for every Monday night for 20 years, you're going to get really tired of it, and you're going to want some damn Hellmann's. And this particular show had so little mayonnaise that it should have happened in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I say the last Saudi show was better than this one.
Yeah, that was. But guys, we got a minute left. Yeah, but guys, we got a minute left. I want to thank everyone for coming on the show. Tonight was a good show. Guys, if you're out there listening, look at R.A. Rogers' Facebook page, NWG Wrestling Group. The questions will be on there. Year-end awards, future focus. Let your voice be heard. We'll take that in consideration along with the other ones, and we will announce our nominees online and our winners and face-offs next week. On behalf of everyone here, I'm the Mastermind Bob Rogers saying, hey, we will definitely see you guys in the future.